Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. God bless you. Well, good morning, everybody. It's so great to see you all this morning. And it's great to be back. We had a short break. It felt short to me. But I will say that it is wonderful to be back. We went to Yellowstone National Park, and we camped there, and it was really awesome. And I saw a grizzly bear. I saw a black bear with cubs. My wife is very upset because she really wanted to see a grizzly bear, and she saw its back. I saw everything. I saw the head and all that. She only saw the back, so she was very upset. And she was like, when we get there, we're going to see grizzly bears everywhere. And it didn't happen. But I saw the whole thing, you know. And I think it's because God just prefers me, you know. So I'm not even going to take that back. I'm just going to leave that out there. No, it was wonderful. But I will say that it's so great to be back. We missed you guys so much. And, you know, we love this church. We love you guys so much. We're really so thankful to the Lord for each and every one of you. You know, it's amazing at night when we pray, my son, and we pray as a family every night, my son always prays for you guys. You know, he always prays for everyone at Oceans, you know, and it's really very precious. And, you know, it's kind of become like what we do at our house. You know, we pray for the church, you know, every day. And, you know, it's really awesome for us to be able to go away and have an amazing team that we leave behind, from our absolute, you know, leaders, our team leaders, to all the cell leaders and zone leaders. Everybody does such a great time. Our band has done a phenomenal job. Aren't they doing a great job? And, you know, when you have an amazing team, it makes such an incredible difference. And we are very grateful to God for the people that He's put around us to help us with the heavenly vision that He's given Oceans. And we don't take that for granted. You know, having said that, there is one or two things that I'd like to say this morning, just kind of in my heart before I get into the message. First of all, did you guys enjoy the pastors while I was away, John and Mike and William? I think they did a fantastic job. And I'm really proud of all three of them. And then last week we had Lydia Morrow here, and she was amazing, wasn't she? Amen. You know, people always ask me, what kind of church are you? What kind of church is Oceans? And yeah, it's kind of funny. We are not, you know, and a lot of people will say that we're Pentecostal, you know, because our expression tends to lean more towards that. And, you know, don't leave now, just hang on, okay? you know, we do have more of a Holy Spirit expression because we, you know, but the truth is I don't like to be called Pentecostal. And I don't mean that negatively towards Pentecostals, you know, but, you know, there are people that I know, for example, I'll never forget, my grandfather was Italian. He passed away many years ago, and he always used to say to me, I'm Catholic, you know, he's Catholic, you know, and, you know, that was instilled in him from a child that, you know, if you weren't Catholic, you wouldn't go to heaven, you know, and now today we have these denominations and all these different parts in the body of Christ, but, you know, I always like to say, let's have a look what the Bible says about it, and in the Bible, I only see one church, you know, and... Now, well, you know, we don't go to Oceans because they're too Pentecostal. We don't go there because they're too Baptist. Or we don't go there because they're not Catholic. Well, I don't see that in Scripture. You know, so if you want to know what kind of church we are the same as the Book of Acts. You know, we follow the model of the Book of Acts. You know, so we try and be biblical. We want to be a biblically based church that preaches everything. You know, the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus, the Word of God. We just love every bit of it. And we don't want to leave anything out. We want to make sure that you guys get to receive everything that God has for you. You know, when I was preparing for this message, this is the only thing that God really spoke to me about. Normally I want vision and all kinds of stuff when I go away, but this time there was nothing else that He gave me but this message that I'm going to minister to you this morning. And it's not anything extravagant in any way. It's just so, but it is important though. It's so important. But one thing became very clear to me, and that is that I really believe that Paul, in all his writings, was trying to say three things. And if you look at the way he ends his letters, and specifically this one, he ends it in a very specific way. And if you've been here long enough, you'll know that I pray this almost at the end of every service. And it's not just, you know, something that we do because we just want to do it. I really believe it's absolutely vital. In 2 Corinthians 13:11, let's start there. I want to show you the way he writes and ends the letter off. You know, many people, you know, when Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, I think Corinth was more like Paul's problem child, you know. Out of all the churches, they were the church that was the most out there. You know, he had to kind of bring balance to the church. But he makes the statement at the end. And that's why I want to read in verse 11, because 2 Corinthians 13:11, because this is where he says, finally. So he's ending off the letter now. He says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. See, the church is just supposed to be one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. You know, if you look at who God is, I want you to know that he is a God of peace and a God of love. That's who he is. That's, if you study scripture and you begin to know God, you will find out that that's who he is. He's the God of peace and he's the God of love. That's his nature. That's his character. That's just him. And you know, that's why the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Because that's the only time we ever find that is in God, in Christ. We find that peace. We find that love. Then he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And that doesn't give you a reason to go around kissing people. He says, all the saints greet you. And this is what I want to end, what I want us to look at this morning. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And I really believe that if you study Paul's writings, you will find out that these are the three things he tried to teach us. He tried to teach us. There's no one that wrote about grace like Paul did. That tried to explain to us the lengths, the depths, the widths, the heights of the love of God. No one did that. No one tried to express to us more the grace of Christ and how powerful it was, to the point sometimes where there would even be contentions between him and some of his peers. There would be contentions about grace, what grace really meant. And so he was someone that tried so hard for us to understand this. And then he also, obviously, the love of God, which is what we're going to focus on this morning. We're going to focus on God's love this morning. But he also wanted us to understand the communion of the Holy Spirit, or really the word could also be used for fellowship. In other words, the part of God that you will come to know personally on this earth is the Holy Spirit. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you can never know the Father, because he's the one who reveals the Father to you. You see, Jesus sent of his Spirit to us, the same Spirit that was in him, the same Spirit that came upon him is living inside you and I. And he's the one who reveals the Father to us. You will never understand God's love if you don't know the Holy Spirit, because it cannot be comprehended with the mind, which I'll show you this morning. The love of God is so deep, so vast, so wide, that the only way you can begin to understand it is in your spirit. In other words, it has to be revealed to you. It can't really be taught to you. It has to be something that you catch from the inside, because it's too great. It's too amazing. And many of us, we kind of like feel like, well, you know, I can believe that God's love is great for everybody, but not really for me. Because we have a tendency sometimes to think that we are not good enough. Or, you know, why would God choose me? Why would he care so much about me? You know, Pastor Alex, definitely. But everybody else, or, you know, we have all been there where we feel like, you know, do I really matter? Does my life really matter? Well, the truth is that I want to show you this morning through two parables specifically, just how much God loves you. We're going to take a look through some scripture. Let's go first this morning. Let's go to Romans 8 verse 38. We'll just look at some scripture where God shares with us just how powerful his love for us is. Aren't you glad that God loves you? You know, and the problem with us is that I think sometimes we don't really know what love is. I'll never forget my other grandfather, my Greek grandfather. He was a very, very wise man. He wasn't someone that really showed much love. And Naomi is a very, very compassionate person. She, you know, she's, you know, loves a lot. In fact, I don't really know many people that love like she does. Just don't cross her, because once you've done that, she won't love you no more. Okay. But she will love you with everything until then. But my grandfather was, you know, was a, you know, someone that never really, you know, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but anyway, he was someone that, you know, didn't really give a lot of affection. But Naomi just had this way of getting to he had a roadhouse in South Africa and lived in the property where the roadhouse was. And we would go there, and then whenever we would arrive, he would take the table and put a chair out for her, because she took the time to sit with him and talk to him. You know, he was an older man. So, you know, she would just sit with him and talk to him and talk to him, and she would speak a lot, okay? And he would love it. He would love talking to her. And one day she said to him, "Papuli, I love you so much." And he said to her, "Girl, you don't know what love is." You know, and that's just how he was. But when he passed away, he kissed her, and that was a very big deal for him, because he just wasn't that way. But what I wanted to say really through all of that was, sometimes I don't think we really know what love is. You know, we don't really grasp and understand what love truly, really, truly, really is. And sometimes it's because of our circumstances, the way we grew up. We haven't necessarily experienced love like this. But God's love is something tremendous. In Romans 8:38, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." It is a hard thing for us to understand God's love. And sometimes we do feel like, you know, He doesn't really love us, or He can't love us because of the way we are. And so we need to dive deeper into this morning. He says no height, no depth. And I love, because he even says no angels, no principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing can truly separate you, number one, or number two, can really ever get you to fully grasp just how magnificent God's love is for you. And I need to say it like this: individually, your life that may seem so insignificant to you is actually so important to God because of what He's done. Ephesians 3, verse 14 says this: "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." You see, he says that to know the love of God, it passes knowledge. It goes beyond your mind. It goes beyond what you can comprehend in academically or with a knowing. It is something that comes from deep inside you. Are you with me, guys? And so we have to, you know, that's why Paul, you know, had this desire. You know, he said, "Desire spiritual gifts." You know, he wanted you to desire to become a spiritual person, to be able to tap into the things that God wants to say to your inner man. Because there are things that your inner man will comprehend that your mind will never be able to fully grasp. And so the only way that you can fully grasp it is to become spiritual. And so Paul was adamant about this. So Jesus gives two examples. And when I read these two parables to you, I'll explain to you exactly what they mean. And I honestly believe that this is what they mean. I studied many commentaries, looked at many different writings on this. And I really believe this is what it means. So let's go to Matthew 13, verse 44. You guys, are you all okay this morning? Listen, I don't, you know, I love shouting and getting excited, but sometimes let's just see what God has to say. Matthew 13, 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. What does this mean? Well, first of all, we need to break it down. He says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has to buy the field. The man who finds the treasure is Jesus. He is the man who finds the treasure. The field is the world. And in fact, we see Jesus given an interpretation of a parable in Matthew 13, 18. This whole section is parables. And in Matthew 13, 38, he actually tells us that the field is the world. So in this parable, we can again see that the field is the world. He says that the field is the world, he says, which a man found and hid. And this I love, because basically the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, it says that the principalities and powers, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory if they had known what would happen. So you see, Jesus paid with his blood. He paid the price for the whole world. That's why the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You see, he loved the whole world. He paid for the whole world. That he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The whosoever there is the treasure. The whosoever there is you. And what did it cost him? This parable tells us. It says that he had to go and sell all that he has to buy that field. You see, when you begin to understand true covenant and what it costs to be in covenant with God, you will begin to understand just how much it cost him. You see, there is no greater thing than blood. There is nothing more powerful than blood. And we'll get into the cost a little bit later, but I want you to understand that you are his treasure. You have been paid for. It cost him, the Bible says, everything. The Bible tells us that the harvest is plentiful. In other words, the field has been paid for. It's plentiful, it's ready. But the harvesters are few. There is a treasure that needs to be taken out of the field. That treasure is you and I. Can you say amen? And it cost him, the Bible tells us, everything. That means that he loves you so much, he gave everything to pay for you. Isn't that amazing, guys? Well, you know, many people will say, well, you know, that's great, Pastor Alex, you know, but that doesn't include me. Not me, definitely me. I'm talking about you, okay? Well, that's not true. And you see, Jesus is amazing because he doesn't stop there. He wants to make the point that he's not just talking about the body of Christ as a whole. He's talking about you individually. So he goes on in the next verse, and he says this. Let me just find it real quick here. He says in Matthew 13:45, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and brought it. Again, the merchant here is Jesus. And the valuable thing that he went after was you. Isn't that powerful? You are like a precious pearl to him. Now, I know there are other interpretations of this text, but if you put it into context, you will begin to see clearly that this is what he was saying. He was saying that he paid a price. He gave all that he had, and it was just to find one precious pearl. One person that would say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Lord, I'm gonna be yours. I'm gonna make a decision to serve you. You see, the Bible's not interested in your religion. The Bible is interested in disciples, in people that give their life to Jesus, that come and follow him, and they become precious in his sight, they become treasure in his sight, they become a pearl in his sight. Can you say amen? The Bible tells us in Titus 2, verse 13, it says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. You are his special people. You are you are a treasure. You are like a pearl. You see, it says there that he will, that we will become his. He'll purify for himself his own special people. Even a pearl, it's a process. In fact, a pearl normally is a grain of sand or some kind of plankton that gets inside an oyster, and it takes years for it to become something precious. And so it is with you and I, is that once we begin to grasp who God is and we begin to follow him, we become precious in his sight. You and I are precious in his sight. And it tells us that he would sell everything for just one of those pearls. So would Jesus die just for you? I believe the answer is yes. Now you see, most of us will sit in our chair and go, that's impossible. He wouldn't do that. Why would he do it just for me? Well, he would. And he did. You are important to him. Your life is important to him. He loves you with an everlasting love. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 1, verse number 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. And he says here to the prophet, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. But in the greater picture, it could be basically anything that he's called you to be. Whatever he's called you to be, whoever he's called you to be, I want you to know that he knew you before you were even born. Before you even formed in your mother's womb. If you don't believe me, let's look at the next one. Jeremiah 31, verse number 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with kindness, I have drawn you. Ephesians 1, verse number 4 says this, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I want you to know that he knew you, he chose you before the foundation of the world. That's amazing. Before the foundation of the world, why am I important? Well, why were you born now? Why are you here now? Well, you know, the Gentiles, you know, we were grafted in. We're not really, you know, the children of Israel. We're not really God's people. No, that's not true. You are. You have been chosen. You have been separated. The price that was paid for you was in blood. Can you say amen? Psalm 139, verse 16 says it so beautifully. I have to read it from the message because he really gets it right. He says, like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I had even lived one day. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful, God. I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand of the sea. Let me rise in the morning and live always with you. I don't know about you, but that's the cry of my heart, to always serve him, to love him back, because he chose me to be his child, to be a son of God, to be one of his precious pearls, to be part of his treasure. Can you say amen? The Bible tells us that he paid everything. He gave everything. He sold all that he had. What was the cost? What was the cost for you to become precious, to become special, to be chosen by him? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions. 1 Peter 1 verse 18 says it like this. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. You need to understand that there is no earthly value to what was done for you. The price that was paid for you was not of silver and gold and buildings and cars and money and finances or anything like that. It cost far more than that. From your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, you need to understand that in order for us to become children of God, to become covenant people with God, for us to qualify to be a part of God's precious, holy, separated people, there had to be blood spilt. You see, the children of Israel, it was different for them because God made a covenant with Abraham. And that covenant, by the way, did include blood. There was a covenant that was made between God and Abraham. And he said, I will bless your seed. And from your seed will come the nations of this world. And he promised him the blessing and protection and prosperity. And we see the hand of the Lord on Abraham. And we see Abraham, Isaac, and we see Jacob. And then we see the 12 tribes of Israel. And from there we see Moses. And from Moses we see all the children of Israel. And we see all of the different guys. We see, who was the young guy that was with Moses? Joshua. We see Joshua. We see David. We see all these different characters in Scripture. And the children of Israel that had the hand of the Lord upon them all the time. And we see them begin to discover who God is. That He's a provider. He's a deliverer. He's a healer. You know, He's the one who loves us and cares for us. We see them, God reveal who He is more and more and more through Scripture in the Old Testament. But that was His people. That didn't include you and I. We are Gentiles. Unless you're Jewish. But most of us in this room are Gentiles. So what would it cost Him? You see, the Bible says He came for His own, but they rejected Him. So the only way that He could have His own special people was to give His life, to give His all. And so that's what He did. He gave His all. He bought the field. He bought everything. He paid for the whole world. And the whole world now must choose. What will they choose? What will you choose? And when you choose Him, you become treasure. Why? Because it costs so much for your life. So your life is valuable. Your life is precious. Your life carries so much. Why? Because the cost for you was so high. Now you're in covenant. Now you've been separated. Now you've been chosen. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, been set apart for His love. Can you say amen? Every single one of you, every single one of you, every single one of you, God has chosen you. God has picked you. The only question is, will you pick Him back? Will you choose Him back? If your answer is no, then you do not understand the lengths and the depths and the heights and the width of His love. You see, Isaiah 53:5 says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we were healed. What the children of Israel inherited through Abraham, we inherited through Christ. Through what He paid for on the cross. And the Bible then says this. It says that now we are also Abraham's seed. Galatians 3:29 says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We now are heirs as well. Don't be like the children of Israel who rejected Him. Don't be like the children of Israel who chose to only let Moses hear the voice of God. Don't be like the children of Israel who chose Baal over God. And then the prophet would say to them, which one will you choose? Are you going to continue to waver? If God is your God, then let Him be your God. If Baal is your God, then pick Him to be your God. But when will you choose? You see, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:15, it says this, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, God's love and the price that was paid was so great that not only are you covenant children, but now He is your Abba, Father. The word Abba means daddy in Hebrew. That's the term of endearment. That's the relationship that's available to us. But then He says this, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You will have to make a decision. You will have to make a choice. You see, you can either be in this world and just go on and live your life, or you can choose to follow Him. It will cost you. It will cost you. But He's given everything for us. He's given our lives, His life for us, so that you and I can become that precious treasure, those precious pearls. But the process of becoming a pearl is one that takes years. But that's who you are. That's who you are called to be. Well, I don't know, Pastor, not me, Pastor Alex. Oh, no, you. You could have been born in a different time, but God chose you to be born now. We live in probably the most exciting time biblically. And I'm going to say biblically because these are Bible times. We are still serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I tell you, the story is still being written. Yes, we have the inspired word of God, but the story of God and Christ and salvation and the church is being written every day. And you are in that story. You are the treasure, the pearls that he's talking about. You are precious to him. Your life is worth something. You are worth more than what you think. You underestimate him, and it's kind of like an insult because of what he's done for you. That's why as a Christian, you can't do nothing. You can't be a do-nothing Christian. A do-nothing Christian is like wasted treasure. I'm not saying now you must go out and change the world, but start at home at least. Let his light shine in you. That's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Don't let your light be hidden. But put it on a mountaintop where it can be seen by everyone. Are you with me, guys? And then the thing that I love the most is that we are so fortunate in this covenant. You see, in the Old Testament, they knew him as God. They wouldn't even say his name because of the fear and the honor that they had for him. In this covenant, we are joint heirs with Christ. We are sons and daughters. So we approach him as Father. That's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." He wanted them to begin to see God not only as God Almighty, although he is, but to begin to see him as a Father who loves and cares for them and wants them to know him. That's why, you know, Jesus said to his disciple, you know, "Have I not been with you so long? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. They're exactly the same. Their heart is the same. Their love is the same. Their mercy is the same." Well, you know, God's a little stricter than Jesus. He is the express image. He is exactly like God. His heart, he even said, "I do nothing but that I see my Father do it." In other words, everything I do is exactly what he wants me to do. I say exactly what he wants me to say. And I love it because God can also provoke the religious. And I promise you, we are all religious at some point. We all have a little bit of religion in us because we build our theology around the way we think it's supposed to be. If it were not so, you would have no doubt that God loves you so much and that you are valuable to him. But the enemy will do everything he can to try and convince you and persuade you that you're worthless, that you can't make a difference, that you're too young, that you're too old, that you're too ugly, that you can't talk properly, that you don't have what it takes. He'll do whatever he can to try and persuade you. But I want you to know that the price that was paid for you was so great that you have become a valuable treasure. You have become a pearl of great value. You are valuable for him. Why? Because Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you. That means that you have the Son of God's Spirit living on the inside of you. Come on. And you can do anything. That's why he says that. He says you can do anything. He'll give you everything you need. He'll give you everything. But we have to follow him. You are precious to God. And I really believe the Lord wanted me to come back and remind you. Maybe he was reminding me. But to remind you that he loves you so much and that you are precious to him. Sometimes we don't understand when things happen in our lives and we ask questions. I don't think it's bad to ask questions. But we should never ever forget who he is and what he says in his word, because that is the truth. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. This morning in this place, God, we are so grateful to you. So grateful to you because did you not give it all? Did you not send your only son to die on that cross? The price was so great. The king of the universe, the king of the world, our minds can't comprehend it. That you would do what you did, Father, to send your only son so that we could become joint heirs. The Son of God died so we could be made sons. I can't understand that. But all I can do is say, thank you, Father. Thank you that you have made a way that we can worship you. Thank you that you have made a way that we can hear your voice. Thank you that you have made a way that we can have life and life more abundant. Thank you, Lord, that we have become precious and valuable to you and that you chose us for such a time as this, Lord. In your timeline, we could have been born any time, but you chose now for us to be born. Yes, the world is getting darker, but Father, so your church will begin to get lighter and lighter. And there will be a separation between the true and the false. And the true will begin to rise up and there will be no compromise. For the true church will rise with a sword in their hand. And that sword will be a sword that will come forth and speak truth and spring and speak life. Just like your son did, Father. He came, he said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And Father, I pray that we will rise up in this hour, not only Oceans Unite Christian Center, but the body of Christ as a whole. And Lord, let us be a treasure that you will love, that you will look proudly on, Father, your precious children, your precious people, Father, a holy nation, a holy priesthood, Father. Lord, let us rise up in this hour and be that you have called us to be. Lord, you paid it all. You paid it all. All we can do is serve you back. All we can do is follow you, Lord. Lord, every person whose life was truly changed in the Bible, we see how they are changed forever. So it is with us, Lord, that you that has encountered us. Lord, our lives are changed forever. And so we stand this morning in this place and we love you and we serve you and we give our hearts to you. Lord, we don't just lift our hands and say, yes, I believe, but we give our lives back to you because you gave everything to us. You did everything for us. Lord, there are people in this place that feel worthless. They feel like they're not worth much, Lord. They feel like they can never amount to anything. Maybe it's even been said to them. I pray for you this morning. Every person in this place that has suffered, that has felt like your life is not worth much, this morning I want you to know that you are a pearl in his sight. All you have to do is take a hold of him, take a hold of his word, take a hold of the Holy Spirit and begin to run, begin to hear him. Let him teach you. Let him show you things. Let him reveal God to you. Let him reveal the Father to you. Let him have relationship and intimacy with you. The Bible says Paul prayed and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's the part of God on the earth that wants to know you more, that wants to talk to you every day, that wants to share things with you, that wants you to be his best friend. Holy Spirit, we invite you into every part of our lives, into our marriages, with our children, in our decision making, in our businesses. We choose you, Father. Let us be that treasure, Lord, that you gave everything for. And so we honor you this morning in this place. We love you this morning in this place. We worship you this morning in this place. Just lift your hands just for a moment. Just lift your hands. Father, touch them this morning. Lord, let them know your love. No one will ever comprehend the fullness of it. We will never grasp it, Father, because our minds just can't do it. But I pray this morning that you will touch them in their hearts, Lord, in their soul, in their spirit. Touch them deep this morning. Lord, give them purpose, purpose in you, purpose in you. You've created us with a purpose and a plan. And so we honor you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And if you are one of those people that I'm praying for this morning, that has maybe felt like you're just not good enough or you're just not amounting to much or you're worthless or anything like that, I want you to know this morning that you are precious to him. If your time was up, you wouldn't be here, but you're still here. He's not finished with you. He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. And so we honor you this morning, Father. We love you. We praise and worship you. And now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every person in this place. Thank you for loving us the way you do, Lord. Thank you that each and every one of us matters to you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.